is, you make sure on what you teach, it will be for your salvation and the salvation of those who hear. And in the time we're living, we can obviously testify, it's even in Paul's time, people have no fear when they teach others or tell others about Jesus. There's so many people that there's no fear for it, because they just share any nonsense and say this is who Jesus is, but it's not. And if we lose fear of the Lord, we can easily go astray with that. And I think that's why Pete's testimony is so beautiful, is if we don't read the Word, study the Word, know the Word, there's no way that we will know the truth. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that the Holy Spirit will guide you in the truth if you don't know the truth in the Word. Am I too hard by saying that? Are you okay with that? Please, if there's younger people or new in Jesus, it's so important in the times that we live. There's so much of truth because Jesus says so. Or he said, or the Holy Spirit led me. Or I hear God said this and this and this. Much of ministry and truth is built on that. And it's dangerous ground if that same person is not rooted in the Word of God. It will just leave people astray. So let the fear of the Lord help us concerning that. Okay, so this morning I just want to say something on how does fear and love fit together? How do they work together? Don't want to recap, I've done that. So I'm not going to read verses again. Even Jesus, it's so interesting for me, in Luke 12, Jesus says, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear them or him who can kill and decide between heaven and hell. Who's that? That's God. And just two verses later, he says, my children, do not fear. Within two verses, he says, fear God and don't fear. So how does the love of God and the fear of God fits together? I'm not going to read all these scriptures. Let's read just only one. I think I've got one or two scriptures to read. In Romans 8 and Romans 11, Romans 8:15 and Romans 11:20, you can read Paul writing about the love of God and the security that there is in the love of God. And in Romans 11, he writes, if he pluck out the Jews from being his people, be aware that it doesn't happen to you. There's a warning which Paul gives in Romans 11. Don't take it lightly to walk with God. If he didn't spare the Jews, that's in Romans 11. Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 3, you get the same thing. The same writer is writing about our security in God and the love in God, and also be aware of being entangled in sin and carrying on with it. So there's one scripture that I want to read, and let's open up our Bibles at 1 John 4 verse 18. Let's open there, 1 John 4 verse 18. And 1 John 4, 18. So I've searched, there's many people that went before us and studied the Word, and So the one guy that I read this past week is George MacDonald. It was, I think, Scottish, if I'm right. He was a mentor to C.S. Lewis. And so I read some of his writings concerning fear and love. So in 1 John 4, verse 18, I'm reading from the ESV. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Okay, so it says something about fear and love, and it says something about perfect love that casts out fear. And we can take this verse and see if we can help to understand the connection between fear and love. So George MacDonald writes, and I love it, he says, the only thing that should take away your fear is perfect love. If anything else takes away your fear, beware. So I thought, maybe just spending a moment, what is taking away our fear from time to time? What different things happen in life that does take away our fear? Yeah? So just practically, wat is die goed wat ons partykeer help om nie te vrees nie? Comfort. I'm healthy now. I was sick. I was afraid when I was sick. Now I'm healthy. I'm not afraid anymore. My budget wasn't working out. Now it is. I don't fear anymore. I always thought this was sin, but now someone taught me a way around it, and I was a bit worried about myself and my relationship to God. Now someone says, no, don't worry about sin. Everything has been paid. Don't fear. You only have to love. Feel the love of God. I'm around it. So I don't fear anymore. I love now. So wat is daar nog? Wat se maniere is daar nog hoe ons nie meer vrees nie? Ek baie keer help dit vir my om net nie te dink aan die dag van môre nie, maar ek weet nie. So hoe wat se meganismes is daar nog wat ons nie laat vrees nie? Sukses. Sukses. I'm successful. I can do it. My own ability, my performance, my accomplishments. So I don't fear because I'm all right. I can do it. If anything goes wrong, I've got the ability to sort it out. In trusting people around you. Thanks. Good. So wat ek hou van wat MacDonald skryf is, hy sê, if he takes this verse, he says, the only thing that should cast out that fear from us is perfect love. So now we struggle with the principle throughout the New Testament that I think the church worldwide is struggling with, me too, and that is what Jesus has accomplished when he said it's finished and what hasn't been accomplished until he returns on the second return. So the church is struggling with, so what is perfect and what is not? And what can we have faith for and what don't we have faith for? And in that struggle, so something that I wrote down, if I think about relationship between me and God, his love for me is perfect, but my love for him is not perfect. So there's perfect love present in my life because of him, but my myself does not have perfect love. Of is it net ek wat daarmee sukkel? Because sometimes I love other things than God, and in that moment, perfect love is not present. And that's basically every day. So if I take that verse and I say, is all fear gone from my life? I have to say, yes, because of God, and no, because of myself. Because myself doesn't love God perfectly. And so I think something that, and I loved it when I read through some of the stuff of George MacDonald, is something that he just put an emphasis on is that we should not look at anything else to get rid of fear. And all of us, that's one universal thing, all of us struggles with fear. It's only the perfect love of God that can cast it out. If we use anything else to get rid of that fear, it will return. Guaranteed, it's going to return. It's only God that can cast it out. So we think we will be better Christians if we fear less. Can I say it again? We think we will be better Christians if we fear less. The reality is, when we love God better, we will be better Christians because of that love that casts out the fear, we will fear less. It's by loving more that we get rid of fear. It's not by fighting fear itself. We fight fear with love. Perfecting your love is driving out all fear that you have. As we are growing in the way we love God, we get rid of the fear that we have. Fear, I just have one sentence that he wrote that I love. Fear is an imperfect bond to God. Can I say it again? As me and you are sitting here or standing here, most of us has an imperfect bond with God, because most of us do have fear from time to time. And because of that scripture where God says, perfect love casts out all fear, we have to say that bond that we have is still imperfect. It's not perfect. But we can grow in that. And we grow in that by growing in our love for the God, for the Lord. If I listen on Pete talking about just this morning, and as he read through the books, he says, if we want to know the grace of God, just read Isaiah and Jeremiah. And I can hear the way on Pete talks is how his love has grown for the Lord because of reading the scriptures and getting to know God. And beautiful to see at 80 week, and I've got moed for ochend on Pete that I can still grow in my love. I've got hopefully years left, but beautiful. So we've got an imperfect bond with God, but the only way this imperfect bond can be repaired is by the perfect bond of love. Your love for God and God's love for you is consistent. Nothing else should cast out that fear. And the order is important. We do not love better because we fear less. We fear less because we love better. And I think in all of us can testify this morning that there comes many times, even many times a day, an opportunity where other things are more attractive. We sang that song this morning and I thought, I'm singing it, but it's not true for me. But it was good for me to declare it. This is who God is supposed to be in my life. More precious than silver, gold, diamonds, whatever, and everything that it is. But the reality is there comes times in every one of our lives where we put other things above God. And last time we said that the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord working as a preservative in those moments. And in that moments where we put something else above God, we should not be completely free of fear. Can we see that? When we choose something else than God in a moment, it would be a bad thing if you are completely free of fear. And the reason why it is a bad thing is because you are not completely controlled by the love for God. And in that moment, it is the grace of God that fear works in your life. Klink like of het volksvreemd is, Marga. Feeling fear in that moment is a work of grace. When I want to walk after worldly things, who's convicting us of sin? The Holy Spirit. Who's the one that casts out fear? He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind and love. So the Spirit, the moment you walk away after worldly things, it is Him who convicts you of that. This is sin. Don't go there. In that moment, the fear of the Lord is working in your life. And it is replaced by seeing Jesus more important than these things, which is then perfected in love. And as we love God, fear is cast out. It's the Spirit working the same things in your life for grace. It is both a work of grace that works in our lives. It brings us back to the love for God. And as we are coming back to God, it destroys fear. Fear is gone. And we can all, hopefully, I don't know, it seems to me this morning, it's, I want to read something that another writer has said. God has wisely ordained that these two opposite principles work together. Fear as we leave God, and the disappearance of fear as we experience the love of God and we love God. I can say it's like being on a scale. If our love for God is intimate, And in a good season, there is not really fear in our lives. In that relationship with God, fear is cast out because love has been perfected. But as this love gets cold and disappears, fear comes in. And that fear is a work of grace. If we don't have that fear, what happens to people when they never fear God and live a life that is lukewarm? They will not end up with God because they have no fear of God. Fear is cast out by the Spirit of God in no other way but when love is prevailing. It's only when love is prevailing, love for God is prevailing, that there should be no fear. But the same Spirit should bring that fear to your life when love is lukewarm and dead. So never is fear maintained by the Spirit in your life except when love is dead. And then we need the fear of God. It's a good thing to experience the fear of God in that moment. And may God help us to grow in that. May we help us to see that. And I want to end off with one scripture. If you have questions in this, I want to say it's a good thing. Otherwise, we settle back and we drift towards heaven. The reality is no one drifts towards heaven. No one. We drift away from heaven. So if we wrestle with the fear of the Lord and with the love of God, if we wrestle with that and we have questions and you sit this morning and say, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I want to say to you, it's a good thing. Much of the truths in the Word is not understood and reasoned until we've got a complete hold of it. Much of the truth in the Word is like that. It doesn't mean we don't reason. It doesn't mean we don't think and we give up and we don't search. But much of it, we come to a place where we say, this is the best we can do, but I can't completely grab. And I thought about it when we sang this morning about the triune God. So we can talk a lot about it, but at the end we would say, it's not humanly possible to completely understand how they can be three and completely one. It's impossible. So I just want to make the point, if you wrestle with this and this morning you sit here and you say, I can't get it. I don't know what he's saying. I want to tell you it's a good thing. But I want to encourage you to wrestle with it. I want to close with Paul's own saying in 2 Timothy 2:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is a wrestling and there is a fighting in the journey that we are on. It is not settling back and hope that we will drift towards heaven. It is a wrestle. And may God really help us to know when to fear and that none of us will fear as we perfect in love towards God. That's God's heart. He wants us not to be in fear, but He really doesn't mind us fearing when we're far away from Him. He sends that fear, and it's a good thing. And may we not get settled and never experience that fear of God once we drift or as we drift away from what He wants for us and where He wants to lead us. And it's simple when we drift. We drift when we choose other things above God. That's drifting. And in that moment, we need the conviction of the Spirit. So let's just close our eyes and pray. And then I want to give us each one individually some time to just talk to God and spend some time with Him. And then on your own time, just to take communion. So I just want to give us one more sentence. Fear is a servant of love for the imperfect saint. Fear is a servant of love. for the imperfect saint. So in other words, when we are walking in that imperfection and towards that imperfection, fear should bring us back to our first love. Father, we definitely need your Spirit this morning, Father, to help us to receive an impartation of what is true from your word, Lord. And how your Spirit is convicting us of sin, and how your Spirit is casting out all fear. And we pray, Father, that our desire is to grow in this perfection of love, Lord, that we will love you more and more, Lord, until the day that you come to take us away. I pray, Father, that we will never settle for where we are. I pray, Lord, that when we walk in that closeness and in that obedience, that we will truly experience no fear, Father. But when we drift, we pray that your fear will come to bring us back to you. And Lord, each one of us is in different spaces and places and seasons in our lives, Lord. And I'm praying that you will help each one of us with the truth of love and fear fitting together in imperfect saints, Lord. That you will lead us through your Spirit in that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your body. Thank you, Father, that you were willing to be crucified, to be beaten, to carry the weight and the burden of all sin. And that burden and that weight, Father, was also my sin. It is because of my sin that you went to the cross. And we thank you this morning, Father, that we are set free from the consequences of our sin through your blood and through the body that was the perfect sacrifice, Lord. And Lord, as we eat the bread this morning, I pray for the impartation of your Christ-likeness, Lord. And we pray for a knitting together of your body in us as imperfect saints, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will not only drift, that you will keep us from drifting from you, but that you will keep us from drifting from one another. And unite us anew, Lord, this morning as we eat together of one body. Father, I want to say thank you that when I drift or when any one of us drifts, Lord, that the way back is not through what we do. Thank you that you have made a way back through your blood, Lord, and that it has paid the full price. And thank you that 1 John invites us to confess our sins. And in that moment, we are back in your perfect love with you, Lord. And we just declare this morning, because the enemy, Father, when we hear of fear or being away of you, Father, the enemy wants to come in and plant a seed of works and a seed of earning. And we know that that is not true, Lord. You have come to set us free of the law and of obeying the law, and through that accomplish our righteousness, Lord. Thank you that you have paid the price, you have made a way, and that as the writer of Hebrews says, Father, that we can come into your throne room with confidence, not because of us, but because of you. And I pray, Lord, that we will always remember that it is you and not us. Thank you this morning that we, as we drink the wine, Father, we are reminded that the way back is through forgiveness by your blood for our sins. And we want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. And I pray that we will experience that perfect peace when we come back. and we are with you, Lord. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, I want to say thank you that you are with us, not only while we're together, but as we leave, Lord. And Lord, thank you that that we can be joyful in this week as we walk with you. And that joy is from you, Father. I pray that we will find our joy in nothing else but you, Lord. Whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning, in the Word, Lord, or where you lead us, but that our joy will be in you and come from you, Lord, and from nowhere else. I pray, Lord, that we will also not try to replace any fear by anything else than your perfect love, Lord. We thank you for that. Will your blessing be upon each one, and will your Spirit go with each one as we leave? We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.